So we have been talking about the power of Christmas. This is our fourth and final talk on that. So I'll just do a quick rundown of what we talked about the last 3 weeks, and you can get it online if you go onto our website and click on sermons. So the very first week we said Christmas is mighty. We spoke about a name of God from the Old Testament, which is Jehovah Elohim, and it means the God of power and might. That's who we serve. That's who's in this room today. That's who is in us, the God of power and might. The second week we said God wants a relationship with us, and we mentioned a name that was given to Jesus, and it's the Bible says that he's Emmanuel, which means God with us. So if we have God with us, that's pretty powerful. Yep, that's fairly powerful. Then last week we said God wants us to have a powerful life, and we brought another name from God for God, which is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals you. And when God is healing us, that is powerful. There's power in those words. This week, I want to say that God has power to provide for all our needs. No matter what our needs are, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical healing, God wants to provide our needs, and he has the power to provide for all of our needs. So my first scripture today is in Genesis 22 and verse 14. It's talking about Abraham, and it says this. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Now the Hebrew word here for Lord is Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. That's why it was translated that way. Okay, it's clever. And it's wonderful if we can hold on to this fact, but we don't always manage to. It depends on what's thrown at us. It depends on whether the rug's been pulled out from under our feet in some kind of horrendous situation. So when problems attack, sometimes we go straight into panic mode and we forget. We forget the promises in God's word. We forget that he has promised to provide. And we look at the size of our problem when what we should be doing is looking at the size of our God. And this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. Even to the highest heavens cannot contain him. So even the highest heavens cannot contain you. Isn't that amazing? Even the highest heavens can't contain him. So if we think for 1 minute the problem that we're facing, whatever it is bigger than God, then we are sadly lacking in knowledge and understanding of an almighty, powerful God. So here's my first revelation today. We don't have a provision problem. We have a knowledge problem, because God is able to provide. Even the highest heaven cannot contain him or his power. I don't know how high the highest heavens are, but they're higher than the ceiling. They're pretty high, okay? The highest heavens are pretty high, and they cannot contain the power of God. So we're lacking in knowledge if we somehow think that our problem is bigger than our God. So just how powerful and mighty and big is God? Higher than the highest heavens. Folks, God's not only willing to provide, he's also able to provide, because that's how big he is. He's both willing and able to provide for every need in this room. If we went from chair to chair and we went around every need in this room, my God is able to provide. So God is not withholding anything from his children, but we are not perceiving what he has provided. The problem comes and it swamps us. We can be drowning, we can be up to our neck in it, barely keeping our chin above water, barely breathing, because the problem just seems so huge. Let's look again at that first scripture, Genesis 22 and 14, and it's just the second part. It says, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. I want you to, in your mind, underscore the mountain of the Lord. It's not in front of the TV. It's not listening to mindless drivel that someone else is talking about. It's not scrolling through YouTube. It's not on Facebook. But it's on his mountain that things will be provided. In his presence, spending time with Jehovah Jireh, who is our provider. That's when things will be provided for us. If we want to know God as our provider, we need to spend time with him. And you don't have to go anywhere special to do that, because God lives in us. His presence is in us, so we just need to spend time with us, without the TV on, without looking at Facebook or YouTube or anything else. So you might think, well, where will I start with that, Sandra? Well, first of all, find a quiet place. You know, wait till the school bus has left for a start. You know, wait until you've got time off work or whatever. You know, do it first thing in the morning before the busyness of the day starts, or do it last thing at night. Do it when it suits you, but just do it. The other thing you might try reading is read his book. God's written a book, and it's a bestseller. Google it. What is the best-selling book in the world? It's the Bible. It is the Bible by billions, by absolutely billions. It is the best-selling book there is, and my God wrote it. So find a scripture in that book to stand on, or go for a walk, you know, just to be with God with no interruptions and no distractions, just you and God. Some of my best times with God are when I'm out just walking. You've got to get wrapped up this season because it can be freezing, but just go for a walk. And guess what? If we take time to walk with him and to listen, God starts to speak, because he's got that quiet. He's not competing with the telly, not competing with our phones. It's silence, and he gets a chance to speak. You know, in Genesis 22, when it says the Lord is our provider, it was the story of Abraham. And Abraham was on a mountain, and he was in great need. And so great was his need that he was about to sacrifice his son, the son that he'd been promised, Isaac. And Abraham sees no way out of it. If anyone needed God to provide in that moment, it was Abraham. I'm sure he had tears running down his face, thinking that he had to sacrifice his son. And there's no other provision for him at that moment in time in his life. All he faced was death and despair. So how's your week been? How's our week been? What have we had to face this week or this month? How big is our need? And do we also need Jehovah Jireh to provide? Are we believing for him to provide? Do we know that he is for us and not against us? And that he has everything that we will ever need? He's already provided it. So Abraham's in this sort of catch-22 situation. He wants to obey God. He wants to sacrifice his son because that's what he believes God's told him to do. But then he doesn't want to sacrifice him because it's his son. Okay? And then all of a sudden, right at the very peak of Abraham's need, God shows up. And a ram is provided for the sacrifice. And Isaac didn't need to die because God provided for Abraham. I want us to note this, that God has provided for us too, and we don't need to die either, because God's already died for us. Jesus was the lamb that was sacrificed for you and for me. That was the whole story of Abraham and Isaac. That's what it was all about. It was a shadow in the Old Testament of what was to come in the New. It was a prophecy, if you like, that Abraham didn't need to sacrifice his son, but he was willing to do it. And then the New Testament, God did sacrifice his son to provide for all of our needs. So Jesus has already died. Jesus came down at Christmas to bring God's ultimate provision, the salvation of the world. So if you're in the world and you're not about to be beamed up by Scotty and you're part of this world, then that includes you. He died for you as well. The next scripture you could probably recite forwards and backwards. I make no excuses for it. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Abraham didn't have to give his son. He just had to be willing to give his son. But when it comes to God, it says he gave. It says here, God so loved that he gave. What did he give? Everything. Who did he give it for? Everyone. For you, for me, for the world. God wants us to receive everything that he has already provided, all of the provision. So here's my next revelation today. And if you don't go home with anything else, this is the one to go home with. Go home with this. He paid the highest price ever paid to give us the greatest gift ever provided. Salvation, healing, everything. The greatest gift ever provided. Do we think God would sacrifice his own son for us, pay the highest price, and then say, Sandra, I'm not going to provide the finances you need? Do we think God would sacrifice his own son and pay the highest price and then say, Sandra, I'm not going to provide the healing that you need. I'm going to withhold it because you've not been good enough. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm not providing anything. It's got everything to do with him. Do we think that God would sacrifice his own son and then withhold the love or the forgiveness that we need in our lives? That makes no sense at all. To give your son and then withhold things from us makes no sense because it's not true. That's why God paid the highest price for us. And it was not just a part payment. It was paid in full. So here's another revelation. This one's going to knock your socks off. So just check that your laces are double knotted right now, because your boots might come flying off with your socks, okay? Here's another revelation. Nothing that we ever need will cost more than God's already paid. Nothing that we ever need will cost more than God's already paid. Your need and my need will never bankrupt heaven. It's just not possible, because my God is bigger than the highest heavens. He goes further than the highest heavens. It goes that far. You can't come to the end of his power. So if the enemy says God can't provide for your need, we need to tell him that is just not possible. When the doctor's report comes through and says there's no provision for this need, it has never been healed before, you say, well, pin back your luggles, lift up your eyelids, doctor, because you're about to see something, because my God has already provided, and it's just not possible that he's not going to provide now. Folks, God's not withholding anything. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. That is not just his name. That is who he is. It's who he is. And the enemy does not want us to get a revelation on that. He does not want us to know that. He wants us to doubt and think that God's withholding. Matthew 6 and verse 8 says this: your father knows what you need before you ask him. Not after. He knows our needs. Everything we need in our lives, God knows, and he knows before we even come to pray about it. How? Because he knows the very thoughts that are rolling around in our head. He knows the bills we need to pay. He knows when we're hurt or in pain. He knows the color of our eyes, whether they're blue or green or brown or hazel. He knows the number of hairs on our head, because the Bible tells me he's counted them. He knows the color of our hair, whether he invented it or L'Oreal did. So no matter what color you dye his hair, you know, God's going to know it. God's going to know it, okay? Psalm 139, verse 2 says this: you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. He knows everything, every detail of our lives, whether we're sitting or standing. He knows all of our emotions, good or bad. He knows all of our thoughts, positive or negative. We serve an amazing, awesome, powerful God who is more than able to supply every need that we have or ever will have. Folks, our daddy is rich, rich, rich. He owns everything, absolutely everything. Let's look at that scripture in Psalm 50 and verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. He's not got a need because he owns everything. Our Father in heaven has riches beyond anything we can imagine. There are riches and abundance in God. Heaven is full to the brim and running over. He owns the entire world. He created it, all its wealth, all its riches. Folks, can I put it to you that we've made him too small in our eyes? That we, whatever we need, our need is, God can provide. I just want to finish with a few examples from our lives, and I could have had many, many examples. First of all, and some of you may know the story, a few years ago, maybe about 5 years ago now, Neil came home and just said, I've been made redundant. Well, he was the only wage earner, and you've got bills to pay and mortgages to pay, so you do kind of lose your breath a wee bit for the first little bit. But then all of a sudden, we started to pray about it, and God just gave me a phrase that I repeated over and over and over, and it just popped into my head. I just thought, Father God, whatever the job is that you've got for Neil, I thank you, you've got a new job for him, and we are not going to be out of pocket by one penny. And I just kept repeating that. We're not going to be out of pocket by a penny. I just kept saying it over and over. Every time I got attacked by fear. So every time the fear tried to come in, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay the bills next month? I just kept saying that. I'm trusting God. We're not going to be out of pocket by one penny. So I think it was probably about a 3 month redundancy deal. So at the end of 3 months, but in that time, Neil went for a couple of interviews and he got one of those jobs. Now, well, he's finished, say, on the Friday, started the new job on the Wednesday, so it was a couple of days with no pay, but because the new job paid more than the old job, guess what? We were not out of pocket by one penny. Then when we lived abroad for a couple of years and we came home, we'd never bought a home, we just rented when we were away, and we needed a house, and there was a house just along the road from my mum, and it had been lying empty for the whole 2 years, just lying empty with nobody in it. And my mum kept, the house was still known as the previous owner, you know. Jean's house is lying empty. Jean's house is lying empty. And I thought, I don't want to live in Jean's house. You know, it's 8 doors up from my mum. That's not the house for me. So then we finally gave in, oh, let's go and see Jean's house. So off we went along and saw Jean's house. And I started decorating it in my head straight away, because it was almost the same as my mum's house, and I could imagine furniture in it and all the rest of it. And I mean, this house had smashed windows, it had no kitchen, it was pretty derelict. So we got no heating, no double glazing, it just had an old coal fireplace and a coal cellar in the kitchen with coal dust 2 metres up the wall, you know. So this house needed a lot of work done in it. But guess what? We bought that house. And I felt God kept it for us for 2 years. And then people gave us second-hand furniture, and we started to have the basic essentials. But there were still some things on my prayer list. I had no oven or hobs. I had no fridge. And I fancied a long mirror, you know, a full-length mirror. You understand, ladies, to go inside your wardrobe. You need to see if you were cutting it sharp that day, you know. And I just tagged on the end, oh, God, I'd really like an old turntable, because they were definitely not in fashion. You couldn't buy them in the shops. An old turntable to play my old LPs. So that was on the prayer list. That was just a wee extra throw up in the air. Neil and I went down to visit a friend down in England, and we went for the weekend, and she'd got a whole new kitchen put in, so I'm admiring her new kitchen. And she turned around and she said to me, I've got some stuff I need rid of. You don't know someone who needs oven, hobs, fridge, and I've got a long mirror and a turntable. So we were back the next week with a hired van, and we collected everything that we need. And when Neil and I got married, we'll not go into that because we'll be here all year if we go into that story. But we hadn't been talking to each other for about a year and a half. Then all of a sudden, we decided we were going to get married. And in that time, we had a seven-week engagement. So I'm not saying I recommend that, but in 7 weeks, we had to pull together the whole wedding, venue, photographer, dresses, everything. So I made my wedding dress. With 4 weeks to the wedding, I had no dress. So I made my wedding dress in 4 weeks. I made the flower girl's dress in that time as well, complete with the underskirt with the hoop and the underskirt full of lace petticoats and all the rest of it. But I had no bridesmaid's dress. So in that period of about 18 months when Neil and I were on two different sides of the world and not communicating with each other, someone sent to me a video of their daughter's wedding from Australia, a friend. And I watched this girl's wedding video in Fife and thought, oh, they're nice bridesmaids' dresses. Meanwhile, Neil's walking down the pavement in his town in Australia, in Maryborough. He's walking down the pavement and stops at a photographer's window, sees a wedding picture and thinks, oh, they're nice bridesmaids' dresses. Not a normal thought for a guy. So 18 months later, we're trying to pull this wedding together, and I thought, I don't have time to also make a bridesmaid's dress. I'm running out of time to finish my own dress. And we both looked at each other and went, "Ah, oh, remember John's daughter? I liked her wedding. I liked her bridesmaid's dress, and so did Neil. She lived in the same town. We knocked on the door and we borrowed it, and it fitted my bridesmaid." God provides. He provides at the same time for the same wedding, because it's just you that are married. So at the same time, we're thinking, what tune will we have? We don't know what tune we have. So we thought, trumpet voluntary. It was good enough for Princess Diana. It's good enough for us. So trumpet voluntary. A few months ahead of time, God had laid on a musician, a lady's heart in Australia, to order the music for trumpet voluntary. Her son was a gifted musician and played the trumpet. She'd already practiced it. This was like with 1 week's notice. Do you think you could play trumpet voluntary? She said, yes, I'll play it, and Darren will play it on the trumpet. All prepared already for the wedding. God knows. I can't even begin to tell you of the healings. There's twice in my life where without God's touch and God's healing and medical attention, I would have died. I really believe that without the intervention of God, that I would have died. And so God has intervened. And I can't tell you how many times when my girls were young and we had no money, I prayed clothes into the charity shop. And I'm not praying in trash. I'm praying in the pure wool coats from Marks and Spencer's with the black velvet collar, the red coat with the black velvet collar for your four-year-old, and they look gorgeous in them. And then the next time, I'll have a blue one this time, Lord, with a blue velvet collar. And my girls were dressed in Marks and Spencer's and Next and River Island and all the posh stuff, and I parade them into the charity shop. There was one time we needed a kilt shirt for Neil, you know, that laces up the front, the Celtic kilt shirt. Well, we looked at them in the shops and they were like £40. I thought, I can't afford that. So I said to God, I need a kilt shirt. I need a pair of old boots that I can just go trudging through the mud in. And I need an underskirt. And I walked into the charity shop in the Fairman, picked up the kilt shirt, picked up the boots, picked up the underskirt. The whole lot in a oneer. God answers prayer. God cares about the small stuff. God provides. He provides everything from a healing to a parking space. I'm going to finish with this scripture, Philippians 4:19. You'll probably know it in the King James or the New King James. And it says this: my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And the Amplified says, my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches. Our God is not the God of just enough. He is not the God of nearly enough or almost enough. He is the God of more than enough. Enough of liberal supply. He's the God who meets every single need, all our needs, to the full, out of his riches, not ours. It doesn't depend on how much we've got, it depends on how much he's got. And his bank account is never empty. His supply never runs dry. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What a picture of abundance and wealth. God's there for every event in our lives, big, small, and everything in between. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And all we have to do this Christmas is believe it. Thank you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now.